That's all set. You're good to go. You don't have to do anything.
I don't need to put this on.
Nope, you're good.
Carry it.
I don't think so. Do you want the microphone on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. We're really high tech here.
Just hold it down?
Yeah.
That's on? This goes down, up, down.
Yeah, like that.
Up, down, like that. Other way around, up.
It makes it out front.
Goes towards your mouth.
Okay. I need assistance, everybody. This is what I'm going to be teaching about today. How we all need to help. Is this right?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's not a microphone.
Yeah, it is.
I don't hear any application. Can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. Praise God. Do I look funny? Tell the truth. I mean, before I put this on. Okay. You know, it's indeed a pleasure to be here, guys. My name is Pastor Fern Anderson, and my wife, Deetra, she usually comes down and supports, and our ladies at our church come together with you for the women's retreats that Sister Monica and some of the other great ladies put together. And when Robert said, "Hey, Fern, can you come by and help teach? I'm going to be over at the men's retreat, and I really would like to stay on Sunday," I thought he was getting tired of you guys. But that wasn't the case at all. He literally just wanted to be in fellowship with the guys. And you guys don't know this, but Monica is very competitive. She always, and I mean always, thinks that she has to beat me in any games that we play. I let her win sometimes just so she can be happy. Just joking. But the truth is that the Farrington family, they are my family. If Robert said, "Fernando, I need you today," I would be here today. If he said, "We don't have anything to eat," our refrigerator would be empty because I love them so much. And they are truly part of my family. I see some of the friends and family that I grew up with back in California, and seeing them here and seeing God just do great things at your church, it blesses my heart and encourages me. You see, because we're part of the body of Christ. We don't have to have the same last name. We don't have to fellowship in the same community. We are lifting up a Savior that the world needs to know that they can be changed too. And today, my study is not very long, but I like to talk about Christ. I like to engage. I love the worship today. I have injured my hand. My wife, we have three beautiful kids, and they're almost all out of the house. And my wife decides, "We need a dog." So all of a sudden, I have another member of the family that requires more help than the other three kids. And he decides, he's a beautiful dog, though, but he decides he's going to go and try to eat a truck as the truck is going down our street. And he runs out of the house, and he's like, "I'm going to get you." He's barking. And so I run out, and they are on a tee. He's about to get hit. So I jump in front. I tell the truck, "Stop." And I grab the dog, and as I do, I trip over. We have some sandbags in front of our home. They're building some new homes next to us. And I tried to break my fall, and I used my hand, and I severed and tore some ligaments. So over the last 3 or 4 days, I've been really in pain. I went to the emergency room, and they took care of it. But the medication I'm on has dried my mouth and my voice so bad that I hope I don't bother you with the scratchiness. It sounds like a little laryngitis, but it's actually just my voice with the medication tightening up a little bit. So I hope that you can tolerate me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've entitled our study this morning, "The Steps to Peace as We Build and Serve." The Steps to Peace as We Build and Serve. Now, I encourage our congregation to open their Bibles. I encourage you to never take for granted that just because he's a nice guy, Pastor Fern, he looks so cool. I know you guys like how I look today, right? But I want you to know that they are the words of God and not my words. So I encourage you, whether you have technology and you use your smartphone or your tablets or iPads, or if you have a physical Bible, you should get it out and turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4, and we'll be covering verses 1 through 7. The steps to peace while we build and serve, it's so important and apropos, because what you're doing here in this community is you're building an opportunity for others to see Christ, and in doing that, you're serving. Thank you. One of the things that we like to do at our church is to make sure that before anyone leaves the door, that some practical application has been ministered to, where you can literally say, how do I apply that word to my life? How can I make sure that I'm living the Bible? So typically what we'll do is go through the verses. After we do that, we'll cover some key points, and then we'll take our time to see exactly how we can take these steps to peace as we build and serve. So follow along with me. You can read silently, but I'm going to read aloud, starting in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. It says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is such a beautiful passage. I love the Word of God. I love teaching. As I was listening to the worship team and I'm singing along with them, these tenets of our church, not only Rock Harvest, but the church worldwide, the body of Christ. If we love the Word of God, if we love to worship, if we love to pray, and if we love to share our faith where others can see Christ, we are fulfilling the will of Christ where the church is doing its job. And this church, I've heard so many great things of what you've done. I had a tour from Samantha as I went around the rooms. I looked at the cafe and the children's department and the youth group. And I'm going to take on anybody after the service who wants a little ping pong lesson. I love to play. I can't play that well with this wrist, but I'll get a rain check and I'll come back and get you. If you do these things, guys, if you love the Word of God, if you love to worship, when the service begins and God says, hey, we're going to start by allowing ourselves to surrender to our Lord and Savior through song, be here. The worship team, they would love nothing better than to have every seat filled when the service begins. Because when they've been preparing, they're singing unto the Lord. And when you get here, they want you to be able to do the same thing and sing unto the Lord. When someone says, we're going to pray, I saw the prayer chain on the announcements. And the opportunity to be able to talk to our Lord and express our supplications and thanksgiving, to be able to give adoration unto our Lord. It is unmatched to be able to hear God speak to your heart. To be able to go and share God's word and evangelize this community to let them know that someone else knows what it's like, because we were all sinners. We have all come short. And one day Jesus said, I'm going to change your life with your confession. These things will help you build as you serve. I mean, that medicine is really drying my mouth, guys. Pray for me. Let's look at the passage. Verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. Well, usually what we do in our midweek Bible study is we have what we call a basic apologetics class. We are teaching the congregation to learn how to study the Word of God, how to defend what they believe. So we would always make sure, who is the author in the book? This book of Philippians is authored by Paul. God has given him insight to write a letter to the believers in Philippi. As he sends the letter, the first three chapters deal with the challenges of living for him. And then this word in the first verse, therefore, is a conjunction, taking what was said earlier and bringing it now to a place where he wants to bring their attention to. And the first thing he reminds them is that he loves them, that he cares so much for them that they are his joy. The same way Brother Robert, when he looks at the congregation and he sees the youth and the men and the women coming together, you are his joy. He just cherishes the fact that you're growing and maturing and coming to a place where you can share your faith, where others can see Jesus in your life. It brings him nothing but great pleasure. The same way Paul does this, as he mentions some individuals by name, he says, I implore Euodia and implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. The book of life is what Christ, when we became believers, your name was written in that book. They are the saved, the redeemed of the Lord. And you see, many times, because when we became believers, we didn't instantly go to heaven, we wonder, Lord, is this what we're supposed to do, just sit around? And he says, no. Believe it or not, we are going to serve, and that word serve is simply minister to others. I'm going to give you a couple of key words as we go through these verses, verse 1, 2, and 3. The first key word is steps. How are we going to take steps to peace? The word is defined as an act of movement from one level to another. So everyone in this church, everyone who's part of this ministry, should be taking steps towards something. The next key word is peace. That's the focal point of what Paul is trying to drive home as we gather in unity and we learn about the Lord. The peace that we are cherishing is not the peace that the world gives. This is a peace that only God can give through the death of Jesus on Calvary, through his resurrection, and to a place where we can receive now, no matter how our lives were before, no matter how bad or how great they were, we have a peace of knowing that Jesus loves us. Let's define it. Peace is freedom from disturbance, a cessation of war or violence, a tranquil place, and sometimes it's a quiet place. I heard some of the moms say that when we turn back the clock or when we fall back, we're not going to get much rest if we have kids. You know, sometimes, and the guys aren't here to hear this, usually I speak to the guys. Many times I've spoken for your men's day breakfast, or we just had a men's fellowship. We had around 15 guys at our church. We all went to go see War Room, and we took that theater over. Every one of us needed tissue because we were crying and praising the Lord and giving honor as we learned that sometimes, Father, we can be insensitive as men, not realizing what our wives and our daughters and our aunts and our grandparents go through. So every now and then, young people, every now and then, husbands, give your wives some peace, a quiet time. Maybe a time for them to just reflect in God's word or have their own secret place in their closet to pray. Or maybe have a meal where they're not worried about the children and saying, Mom, I didn't like this, or Mom, I want it this way. Give them some peace. The other key word is to build. The steps to peace as we build and serve. Building is putting something together, constructing it, erecting it, assembling it. We are building the body of Christ, the church of God, right now. And the last word is to serve. The word is a Greek word, diakoneia. It means to serve. It's where we get our word deacon. And the serving is different. This word actually means to give aid to others. So if we're going to go through, as we're trying to project a title today as we go through these verses, the steps to peace as we build and serve. We have a process of going through something. We want the quietness of the Lord, the ability to not be in violent places or to have an attack by others where we can literally serve God without worrying about someone talking about me. Oh, I didn't like the way she did that. I didn't like the way he did this. But we have a sense of forbearance for one another, a sense of unity as we build together the work that God has called us to do. And then as we serve, we're giving aid to others. Do you know when you became a believer, we went from being selfish, me and I, to being selfless. Where we want to be able to say, what can I do for someone else? And that's what brings me fulfillment. That's what encourages me now. You know, I love to cook. I really feel that I could take on Bobby Flay right now. And many of you moms and dads may know. I mean, look, I didn't cut my hand. I mean, my knife skills are fantastic. I do 95% of the cooking at our home. My wife will tell you to this day, I don't like to cook. She'll make Thanksgiving dinner. But other than that, throughout the year, I love to plan a meal. I love to prepare the meal. Now, I don't do it so they can say how great the food is. I enjoy serving. The problem is that many times we have a family business and I work sometimes late. And my wife will say, you know, we love for you to cook, but we can't eat dinner at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm trying to balance out saying, please stay out of my kitchen, everyone. But if they're hungry before I get home, they've got to do something. So I'm learning how to serve them, but also realize that sometimes I need to be served or I need to have help where I can't do it all. And in the ministry, Paul has realized that he couldn't do it himself. He has co-workers, brothers and sisters who are in fellowship with him, moving as they build and as they serve, but with one key component. They all have some peace as they are doing this work for the Lord. And I pray for you now, if you don't have the peace of God, you don't have the byproduct of what peace brings, and that's joy. And you'll see these in these verses. So we know the author is Paul. He's talking about individuals who are in fellowship with him in Philippi. He mentioned some of them by name. And one of the problems is that two individuals that more than likely were prominent in the fellowship did not see eye to eye. And this is an issue. Because this happens a lot in ministry. The key people that we're talking about is Paul. Paul was a brother whose original name was Saul. He has a Jewish name or Hebrew name, and he has a Greek name. When he's called Paul, he's the person that's been redeemed by the Lord. Before his name was Saul, he was attacking those who believe. You see, the word Christian means to be Christ-like. And Saul at the time thought he was doing the will of God, but he was destroying the work that they were building. And then Jesus says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, I don't even know who you are, Lord. The word Lord means master, leader, the one in control. And he says, I'm Jesus. You know, it's hard for you to kick against the gourds. These gourds were these sharpened wood poles that were protruding out to protect anyone that would come in into a fortress area. And he's saying, if you tried to kick that, you would hurt yourself. And that's what you're doing now. You're trying to destroy the work that the believers are trying to build and serve. They have peace because they have me. But Saul, you don't have any peace. And as he's stricken down by the Lord, he goes to the ground off of his horse. He loses his eyesight. And God uses another individual that we don't know his name. It's not mentioned many times, but that brother has the peace of the Lord. And because he has the peace of God, Jesus asks him to do something. He says, I want you to go and pray for this man named Saul, but his name will be Paul because he's going to serve me now. And Ananias says, we've heard of this man. He's causing problems. Everything that we build, Lord, he's trying to destroy it. He's trying to bring war and violence where there is peace. Every step we take, he tries to prevent us from moving forward for you, Christ. And Jesus tells Ananias, don't worry about it, Ananias. He prays now, and he's going to serve me. You see, so Paul was not always perfect. Just as we come into the ministry, we weren't perfect, were we? We didn't always have all the answers. We weren't the individual that everyone could say, oh, please, look at her, man, she's so great. I wish I could be like her. Look at him, he's so handsome. He's so smart, he does everything right. We were the complete opposite. Many times we were blemished in our past. If we were reminded of some of the things that we've done, we would hide in shame and feel as though we're not worthy. But because of the love of Christ, because of his grace, none of us are worthy. You see, our salvation does not come by works, nor does it come by good deeds. It comes by the grace of our Lord and Savior, through faith. And that's why we can build together. That's why, as Paul uses his term about my beloved, because we love one another, and the Bible tells us that Jesus tells us they will know that you're mine because you love one another, how you treat one another. So these other key people, let's look at them. We have Paul, who we now know was not perfect, but he wrote the book. We have Euodia. She was a sister whose name means prosperous journey. Then you have Syntyche. Her name means pleasant acquaintance. And you also have someone else mentioned by Clement. These other individuals, the two women in particular, Paul says in verse 2, I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. That's like saying two beautiful ladies who love the Lord and the ministry have different ideas of how something should be done. Let them come together instead of arguing or feeling uncomfortable if they share their true feelings, tactfully, of course. But let them come together where they can say, you know what? I didn't really see how you wanted to do it, but I can come along and do that for the betterment where there is peace and that the Lord himself would get the glory. And as a church, and knowing as a pastor, a senior pastor, how we're building, I have to do that all the time. We have some individuals say, the music is too loud. We have some individuals says, I can't hear the music at all. So how do we have to do that? We say, the ones the music is too loud, let's put you in the back. The ones who can't hear the music at all, let's put you in the front. Problem solved. We worked it out. Sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes it's not that simple. But Paul urged these two to have the same mind. Now, let's look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, in verse 7, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, these steps that we need to take as believers, sometimes we know the Word of God, sometimes we hear it, whether we are in the women's Bible study or the general Bible study or in a home fellowship, and it sounds good. We get encouraged, whether we're in the youth group or the children's department. But implementing the Word of God, applying it to your lives, can be a challenge. That's why the steps that we've been talking about to get to peace have to be done by you. They can't be done by your pastor. It can't be done by the individual teacher in your classes. It requires an effort individually by every believer. That's the expectation that Christ has for us. Not to lean always on someone else, but for us to stand on His Word. And I have these three steps that, as we read these verses, Paul encourages the believers who are reading his letter to do them. The first one is Paul, he encourages them to be, step one, as we're going toward peace, he encourages them to have moderation and forbearance for one another. The first literal point as you serve and build in ministry. You must be gentle. You must be willing to make peace and humble yourself if you're going to build for the Lord. Now, if you're going to build for you, you're going to use your own characteristics. But we're not building for us. We're not trying to build our own disciples. The word disciple means to be a student or a pupil or follower of a leader. So in steps toward peace, as Paul tells us, he says we must forbear one another. And it comes literally with verse 3, when he says, I urge you, true companions, these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement, also the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 2, he gives them, he says, I implore you, be of the same mind. And then if you look in verse 5, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. So forbearance is being gentle when someone else may not be. Are you able to give a kind word to someone? Now, I didn't get a chance to shake everyone's hand. In our church, we make a point to have the individuals in the back row come to the front, and the individuals in the front go to the back, so everyone gets a chance to greet one another. I'm going to tell you why, because throughout the epistles, throughout the New Testament, you'll find more individuals that either Peter, James, or Paul will say, and greet this brother, greet this sister, because I wasn't able to. You see, don't take for granted the fact that they're always going to be here. Because many times, unfortunately, people don't show up for service or something goes on where they have to leave town. And you might say, boy, I miss so-and-so. So when you have the opportunity, when they say, okay, guys, we're going to welcome one another, get up there and find every individual and say, I just wanted to tell you how great it was to see you. When you greet them, you have no idea what a blessing it is for them to receive that simple gentleness. And the forbearance that you're showing is, wow, I had to go to them, but that's okay. Because eventually, individuals will be fighting to get to you. You know, this moderation is so important. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians. Let's turn there quickly. Chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. And it reads, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So you might think, well, I don't know if I can be gentle with everyone in the church. Maybe just with my friends. But the Bible tells us that everyone is friendly to their friends. But Jesus was friendly to those who were his enemies. And we were his enemies. Until we realized that he loved us so much that he gave his life. So I encourage you guys, be gentle, have forbearance, be willing to have moderation for one another, be in unity. The second step, and I'm almost finished, when we look at verse 6, if you turn back to Philippians chapter 4, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So step two is to know his peace. We must not worry, but we must pray in every situation when you feel anxious. You see, anxiety is this desire to have something, but you're fearful that you're not going to get it. You're anxious. You can't wait to get it, but you're not sure that you're going to get it. And what Christ is telling us through Paul is that if we're going to take a step to get to peace, we can't worry anymore. Now, parents usually do all the worrying. We worry for our children. We even worry for our grandparents or our seniors. But the truth is, we have got to be concerned, but trusting in the Lord. Because when you become anxious, you're trying to handle it in your own strength. But you can't do it in your own strength. You have to be willing to surrender to Christ. And that's how we live. Because you see, joy, the ability to have anything going on in our lives, and us still have peace knowing that we can go through it because of our Lord and Savior. Let's read it again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So to know his peace, we must not worry, but we must go in prayer in any situation. Stop being anxious is what Paul is saying. Uneasy, about to realize that you can't handle it anymore. And as I get older in my life, you see, guys, I still think I'm a young kid. The guys in our church, we play on a church basketball league. I'm the oldest on the team. I might say, and I know this does not sound humble, I'm probably the best on the team, guys. I can still shoot a jump shot and take these guys inside. But unfortunately, I'm the only guy that seems to get hurt every game. Where I need Ben Gay, I need my wife to say, where's that heating pad, or get the ice. So they call me, hey, that old geezer or that old man, he can still, they call me that all the time. My youngest daughter, who's 25, she's at graduate school back in California. She'll call me, says, Dad, how are you doing? Says, I'm good. She says, Dad, I'm just letting you know, if you keep forgetting things, I'm going to put you in a home in 2 years. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm younger than you. You kids don't even know what work ethics are. I work all day. She says, I know, Dad, but you forget everything. The other day, unfortunately, I know this does not sound good, but I had the milk in the microwave. And I don't know how I got there. I don't remember, but hopefully you guys protect me if she's trying to put me in a home in 2 years, okay? So remember old geezer, because I have a story for you in a couple of minutes. Don't call me old geezer, but you know what I mean. Just remember it. Okay. All right. So let's finish this up. Step two is so important, guys. On the steps to peace, We've got to be able to pray. Now, listen to step three. As we read these verses, as we've gone through Philippians, Paul is making it clear that I've got a process for you guys as you mature. This next step is implementing the ability to pray. Now, look at these steps. The first one is prayer to seek and speak to God. That's what prayer is. It's just talking to God, believing that God speaks to our heart. And he does that many times through his word, through someone who God is using to speak. You see, pastors or teachers, we're not special. We're conduits, and just vehicles in which God ministers his word. So it's not our word, it's the Lord's word. But prayer is so important. And if you don't have a good prayer life now, take the first step today and say, Lord, I'm going to start praying more. Within that, the second point is supplication. He mentions it in verse six. Supplication is the concerned special times of need. So you have a prayer where you're maybe talking to God, and the supplication may be, Lord, this is specifically a need that I want to share with you. The third one is thanksgiving. Paul gives this process of peace by sharing. Now, this is a good one. Thanksgiving is simply, it looks back to a previous answer to prayer in which God already helped us in a similar situation. So the Israelites, many times as they were removed from Egypt, slavery, bondage, and as they're going through the wilderness to the land in which God has promised them, the Lord says we need to be reminded of the things that I've done. So write on every tree that you can the reminder of me removing you from your past, taking away what was a terrible place, and putting you into a positive place. So sometimes in your prayer, it needs to be thanksgiving. Lord, I'm thanking you for blessing my children. Lord, I'm thanking you for blessing my marriage. Lord, thank you for my health. You see, there was a time in which my son was not fellowshipping in the church, guys. He had gone through the process of going through our youth group. He had gone through the process of accepting the Lord as his Savior. But when he went to college, unfortunately, he fell in love with drinking alcohol. And he said, Dad, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to tell you and Mom one thing and lie to you and then do another. I know we have youngsters in the congregation right now, but I think it's apropos for them to hear. My son decided to leave. He became a prodigal. And as a pastor, as a dad, that hurt. But I realized that it had to be the Lord. And do you know, my son gradually did things that his mother and I would never expect would be done by him. But he ended up having a DWI, a felony DWI. And my son had had 50, 60, 70 different chances to say, I'm going to get my life together. But this one was different. This was his second one in 2 years. He had just graduated from medical school for being a respiratory therapist, making fantastic salary, but thinking that his life was his and not the Lord's, experiences where he would be, unfortunately, having to serve at least 10 years in prison. And what I dread more than anything is that late call for my children, and that was the call that I got. Can you come to California? I've been arrested. Daddy does not look good. And guys, I was on a plane in 5 hours. I was blessed to be able to talk to the judge. My son had never been arrested before. Had a DWI. Well, he had to be arrested before. He had a DWI before, but this was the key. The Lord showed grace. So happened to be that the district attorney for the city of San Diego was trying cases that day. The person that makes all the choices over every prosecutor's case. And I flew in, and we didn't even have time to get an attorney. We had a public defender. And he said, "Are you Pastor Anderson?" I said, "Yes." I said, "I need to speak to the judge." And he said, "That's not possible. This is just an arraignment. My son is in shackles in an orange jumpsuit with chains on his wrists and chains on his feet going like this. And he was not allowed to see anybody in the audience in the courtroom, but on this other side, chained with other soon-to-be prisoners." And I must tell you, I could not stop weeping as I got a glimpse of seeing him in chains, the first time that ever happened. But he was already in chains because he was in sin, because he did not know that that life that he was living would lead him to destruction. And do you know, the judge and the district attorney allowed my son to not go to prison, but to go to a rehab facility. And do you know, that young man is married now. He is a youth leader at Calvary Marietta at the Conference Center. He is a director for the hospitality department. I'm hitting the hand that I broke. What am I doing? Or that the tendons are. And my point is, he calls me. We're accountability brothers. I'm a pastor, I'm a dad, but he's also my son. And he calls me, says, "Dad, I'm just being accountable. Dad, thanks again for not giving up on me. Thanks for letting me know what peace is again, Dad. Thanks, Dad, for realizing that what you sown in me was going to come up sooner or later." And his testimony is so strong that he can share with young people, and they have thousands of kids that come in for class who are going to Marietta Bible College, and he's one of the leaders that he can share his testimony. 27, but now has lived a life as though he's 50 because he's aged. Well, I look younger than him. No, not really. To a point where he realizes, "Hey, Dad, I get it now. You showed gentleness and meekness. You and Mom never put me down. You loved me. Well, we were disciplined, but we didn't tell him, 'Hey, we're washing our hands of you.' We just told him we were praying for you. And if you're ready to get your life together, God is right there, always willing." See, you see, God never gives up on us. Never. And if you're trying to build something, not only in our ministry, but in your family, the peace that God has for you passes the understanding of the world. And this last step is so important because it requires this last one to have prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. And the last one is, you must make a request unto the Lord. Let me tell you what supplication or thanksgiving was. Did I tell you that one already? It was looking back to see what God has already done, so that when you pray, you can remember God has done something for me already. Now, this last one is your request. Specify what you want from God. If you want a better marriage, pray and say, "God, I want my husband to be more conscientious of us. God, I want my wife to not be so hurried like Martha was, but to be like Mary and say, 'I'm going to enjoy being with the Lord.' Whatever it might be, I want to go to college, Lord. Lord, I really want to not feel bad anymore. I'm depressed. Make your request known unto the Lord, and God will give you peace. He'll guard your heart. He'll give you the ability to live in joy." And when Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord," and again I say rejoice, it's a double entendre. He's saying, guys, the joy is yours, but you've got to know that it's yours because of who you are in Christ. Now, I usually get loud, and our congregation says, "Slow down, Pastor Fern," because I want to share everything that's in my heart. But sometimes you can't do it all in one setting. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27, turn there with me just quickly. The Gospel of John. And I know we're almost finished, guys. I don't want to take too much of your time. I know I've probably taken all of your time. You're probably ready to go home. John chapter 14, verse 27. This will bless your heart. You see, this is what Paul was referring to as he said that the peace that will guard our hearts through Christ Jesus. This is exactly what he's referring to in verse Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, we have the joy of the Lord. Does that mean that we don't have problems? No. Does that mean that we don't go through things? No. It just means as we realize who we serve, we can take on any challenge that we find ourselves going through because of the peace that we've taken the steps to receive from our Lord. And you see, that peace will allow your ministry, just like the two ladies who had issues where Paul says, guys, be like-minded. That can only come with you being willing to have forbearance for one another. Now that we know how to get the peace and we pray with supplication, with thanksgiving and making our requests, we've got to implement the word of God in order to live with that same joy that God has for us. I want to finish up with going back to Philippians chapter 4, looking at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word guard there is a military term. It's the garrison. It means to protect. You see, when you have the peace of God, the enemy will try to bring various thoughts into your minds. Well, she wasn't very nice to me today. I wonder what's wrong. Or my husband was very short, or my wife, she didn't give me a kiss today as I was leaving. What's going on? And the enemy, you see, he tries to cause disruption. He is called Diablos. It means that he is trying to throw darts to pick and find out how he can destroy your stance in Christ. He wants to take away your peace, not give it or allow it to remain. And you see, that is what the Lord guards. He guards your heart and your mind. He gives you the ability to live for him, to serve, which means to give aid to others, to build for the Lord, to erect. We're edifying one another. We're building one another up. We're building up a community where they can see Jesus, and we invite them to come in. You see, it's just not for us. We're not selfish enough to say he's just our Lord. It's for all who wants to come in. It's for everyone, just like you and I, who had a past, who in some cases we are so grateful that God forgave us of our past. And it reminds us how good he is and how great he is. And that's why we're so thankful, because of that grace. And I leave always our congregation with a devotion to read throughout the week. It always ties in with the sermon. And then the following Sunday when we come back up, we have a general church reading and we all read it together. Now, I'm going to give you a devotion, a scripture or passage of scriptures that I'd like for you to read throughout the week. It would allow you to allow the Lord to speak to your heart. It is in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. And as I close, I was telling you about this old geezer. That's what my kids call me. Hey, Dad, you're just an old geezer. And I found this friend of mine who said, hey, Fern, let me share something with you. And I just said, this is so appropriate. Let me share as we finish up. A physician, he was an older man, John is his name, and he decides he's going to retire. And he said, hey, I'm giving it up. Fern, I think what I'm going to do is probably open a little clinic. And I'm going to call it the Geezer Clinic. I'm going to make it where the payment to come in, whether you have insurance or not, is $500. And I will make sure that we get you the best treatment in the world and take care of any ailment. If you're not able to be cured, here's $1,000 back. And this is his premise. So he's decided he's going to do this, and he does it. So this young, hotshot entrepreneur says, hey, I'm going to take advantage of this guy. He comes into the clinic, and he says, you know, I think I lost my sense of taste. Is there anything you can do to heal me? And Dr. Geezer ordered his nurse to give Mr. Young 3 drops of medicine from box 25. And Mr. Young gagged as he quickly recognized that it was gasoline that they gave him on these 3 drops. So Dr. Geezer says, "Congratulations, you've got your taste buds back. Give me my $500. So the young man says, "Wait a minute, I don't get it." So he returns a week later complaining that he's lost his memory. And he says, "Dr. Geezer, can you fix me? I don't know." And Dr. Geezer instructs the nurse to give him 3 drops of medicine from box 25. And now Mr. Young quickly protests, "Oh, no, 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 I know that's gasoline." He says, "Congratulations, you got your memory back. You're okay." And this guy says, "Okay, that's it. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get this guy." He's infuriated. He says, "I know it." So he says, "I'm going to go back." And he goes back and he's claiming that his eyesight has failed. And Dr. Geezer sighed and said, "Well, I'm sorry. I don't have any medicine that will restore your vision." He handed Mr. Young a $10 bill. He gave it to him. He says, "Here you go." Now, Mr. Young screams and says, "Wait a minute. You're supposed to give me $1,000. This is a $10 bill." And Dr. Geezer says, "Congratulations. You got your vision back. You know the difference." Now, Dr. Geezer says, "Congratulations. You got it. Just because you're some young guy, you can't always fool an old geezer like me." And you see, sometimes, guys, the young people, they think some of us who are a little bit older that we don't know things. We knew things before they knew things. Sometimes they don't realize that we're just as hip as them. We know all the apps on the phones. You see all the phones that are going now? My young people, they can't stop their phones to be, you know, "Hey, I got to do something." You take a phone away from a teenager, that's like an anesthetic. I mean, like you're taking away their bloodline. But the truth is, everyone, you see, you can't fool God. No matter what we do and try to tell everyone else, "Oh, I'm trying to do this," God knows our hearts. And he wants you to continue to serve, to build. He wants you taking steps where you can have the peace of the Lord. Amen? I love you guys so much. God bless you. And let's pray right now. As they come and close in this last song, I typically will share one thing with the congregation, and that is, don't worry about anyone else. If the Lord is ministering to your heart, if you honestly feel that God is talking to you, don't take away from this blessing that God has prepared. So with you, if you can, I would like, if, and I typically do this too, but just play a couple of chords. Just let the Lord minister to you. I would like everyone to close their eyes right now and bow your heads. Whatever your last song was, just do a couple of chords on that. Just continue that for me. I'm encouraging you today to step out on some faith. We've been talking about steps to receive the peace of the Lord. And those steps are important as we go to God, because we are serving, we are giving aid to one another and to the world. We're showing that, treating them how we would want to be treated. So I'm going to encourage you today, if you don't have that gentleness of the Lord, I know that the majority are believers here, but I don't like to take anything for granted. If you've just been coming to church, but you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, if you've never truly said, "Father, I surrender my heart to you. I want to know what that peace is like that passes all understanding of the world. The peace that you give, Lord, that brings joy. Joy is a byproduct of that peace." If you're here today and God is calling you to step up in service here in the ministry, but you haven't decided that you want to completely surrender all to Him, I ask you now, would you give it to Him? Would you be willing to say, "Lord, It's no longer about me, but about you. We're no longer selfish. We're now selfless. Because he loved us that much. So if anyone is here that would like to receive Jesus, raise your hand so we can pray for you. If there's anyone here that you've been off track, you are a believer, but you haven't been praying, you haven't been thankful, you haven't been gentle, you haven't been making your request known unto God, you haven't even been serving the way that you know you should, what was good for last month or last year, God wants more right now. If that's you, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. And you see, no one else has to worry who raised their hands, because the Bible says that we will bear one another's burdens, that we would seek his face for the unity, for the body of Christ to be edified. That means to be built up to maturity. You see, if we're walking out the door today, applying the scriptures that we've learned, we are now a better body for the Lord. So everyone who's raised their hand, listen to these words. Father, I thank you. And I ask, Lord, that you would take my life. Lord, my effort is that I surrender all to you. Your word says that it's impossible to please you except I have faith. And that faith has to be in you, that you are who you say you are. So, Father, I know that you can change me so that I can serve and do what you've called me to do. I receive that in your beautiful Son's name, Jesus. And we give you the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all. to let go and just trust in you, Father. Help us to live a life that has peace that passes understanding as we grow in our faith and walk with you, Lord Jesus. Let us just be used mightily for you this week as we go out. And I ask that you would encourage all of us, Lord. It did help us to hear you clearly as we go throughout our week and not be distracted by the cares of this world. Thank you, Lord, for the word that was shared. I pray for your blessing. And Pastor Fern, Lord, and just the men as they come back, Lord, and that they would come back refreshed and ready to step out into the next thing that you have for them. In Jesus' name,
amen. Praise God.
Marcella.
Yeah.
Marcella.
Yeah. She says Marcella.
Okay.